Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Can you all see me? Yeah, okay. My Zoom did something weird and I wasn't sure. So just wanted to check in. Give everyone a minute to get here.
I just got home also. It's perfect timing.
Oh, good. Julie, I quick caught in the Facebook group that you wanted us to start an hour early.
I realized that I was just coming in from errands and voting and my car clock was still not changed. So I was just like, okay, I've got 15 minutes. And then I was sitting and I was like, what's going on? But
I did that once already this week. yeah. All right. I would like for us. Yes, yeah, Sarah's saying, where is everyone? Today is a funny day. First of all, it's election day in the US, and I think there's a lot going on. Internally for folks that are in the US. And also if you buy into astrology, it's the full moon eclipse today in Scorpio. There's a lot moving through the collective today. So I'm honoring anyone that felt like they needed to take care of themselves today and not be here live and is catching it on the recording. And I'm also just so happy that we're all together on this day today as well. So I'd love for us to, before we jump into our content for the day, I'd love to spend some time focusing in on celebrations. And I want to invite everyone to take a moment right now to write down at least two or three things that you would like to acknowledge and celebrate. It can be outer things like bringing on a new client, writing your welcome packet, you know, whatever it is, finally getting the laundry done is a cause for celebration sometimes. And it can be an inner thing too, right? Honoring and celebrating a new awareness or a new way you responded to something or a new boundary that you set. There is nothing too big or too small to celebrate. And as we've already learned in our creating awareness module, it's such an important internal skill for us to have, because we as humans can really tend to focus on all the things that aren't working well. And that is usually not the best motivation and inspiration forward. So at least two or three things on your list, even if you feel like you have nothing to celebrate, I promise you, you do. And whatever it is that you're writing down, I want to invite you to take a moment to actually feel the celebration and embody it, right? So back to four levels of learning and processing, it's great to mental cognitive level to identify, oh, this is a celebration and that's a celebration. That's important, but let's kind of take it in now to another level, feel it in your heart, or feel it in your body. Take a moment to really celebrate yourself for each thing that you just wrote down. And I'd love to hear some shares. Feel free to share in the chat as well, but we've got time for a couple of voice-to-voice shares. What is it that you want to celebrate? What do you want to honor, acknowledge, and be seen for? Jennifer.
Oh, hi. So for me, I'm really honoring and celebrating. I've taken the last 3 months and just released anything that felt heavy. So leadership positions, just all different things. And I feel like I'm like coming out of a cocoon and really excited for what's next after having released all those and really sticking to my boundaries because people were very angry. And I was like, sorry. So yeah, I'm just like, wow, I feel so free and light.
Oh yeah. My gosh, Jennifer, that's huge. I really want to celebrate with you.
Thank you.
And it's like, I mean, what you just described isn't just one thing. There are so many levels and layers to it. Like the decision to let go of things that were heavy, the really putting yourself and your well-being first, and then the setting the boundary and the upholding the boundary, even when people weren't happy about it. So beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it feels really good.
Thank you for the inspiration for all of us. Natalie.
It's so funny because I started off this class saying I'm not going to talk today because I'm so tired. And here I am talking because I could not answer this question. I am celebrating that I'm celebrating. I have literally been in celebration mode since yesterday. I think that's why I had a crappy night's sleep. I launched my book. I've been getting so much support. It's just like the support has been just, I can scarce take it in, and I'm trying to take it in, but it's just been like, and what's the reason I'm not a good celebrator at all. And I'm good at telling my clients to celebrate, but I'm a terrible celebrator. And just me even asking for the help and support of that have put out there, which is so uncomfortable for me. But then to see how people have honored that, people I barely even know too, I have no words. Like I literally was in my gratitude journal last night, like, oh my gosh, like I couldn't even put words to the feelings. Huge.
Wow, so huge. Really want to celebrate this with you too, Natalie. It's such a big deal. Not just to launch the book, but to ask for support and receive support and really let it come in.
Yeah.
So, so big. And the fact that you're sharing that all with us here is like another level and layer of it too, right? Like being seen in it and celebrating with us that support that you asked for and received. So beautifully done. I mean, that's a life-changing paradigm right there.
The asking is huge, huge.
Yes, it's such a sign of trusting others, trusting yourself, trusting spirit. I mean, and so much more. So beautifully done.
Thank you.
You, Gaia. You there, Gaia?
Oh, I'm.
Oh, there you are.
Okay. Well, I want to celebrate a few things. One of them is really simple, but it's so beautiful. Is that I responded to a client, and I actually used the words breakthrough and transformation in a sentence. That was so awesome. not just because I learned the difference with you and started to make sense, but because I'm, you know, because of my brain, I'm starting to get words back, you know. And then I want to just read to you, it's very short. I worked with someone recently, like 10 days ago, and she wrote me and she said, "Thank you so much, Gaia. The session was wonderful and powerful. I really appreciate it. I'm moving slowly and being gentle with myself the rest of the day today. Sitting out in the sunshine now after a nap and a nourishing bowl of soup. Perfect. Deep gratitude for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you." So this is like my first session since my accident, you know, and also my first session since coming through the course. And so I'm really happy about that. And my third celebration is I joined the curriculum lab and I really, really like it. I think it's going to be very helpful for me. Unfortunately, I won't be going into the next 5 months with the coaching, but I've gotten so much from this foundation already. It's a lot, but I'm just celebrating that I'm sticking with it. I'm going to get through it. And I think it's a great addition with the curriculum lab to help me get through. So, yeah.
So many celebrations. I'm so glad that you're sharing with us. So excited that you had your first session since your accident. I'm not surprised to hear that it went so well. And I just really also want to celebrate. It feels like this isn't the first time I feel like you're continuing to recover from your accident and you're moving forward and you're moving forward and you're moving forward. And I just really want to honor and acknowledge and celebrate that with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I feel that. Thank you.
Julie.
Gaia, oh my gosh, I like teared up listening to you. That was just so exciting and beautiful. And I'm so happy for you. And I'm also like, I think I mentioned recently, I know you're going to do wonderful things, but I'll miss you in the remaining 5 months of this.
I know.
I feel like I am like overflowing with celebrations right now. So I'll just try to limit it to a few, but I'll start with the reverse order of what I wrote down and have the first be that I'm really celebrating, like noticing and integrating what you've talked about in terms of the seasons in both our work and our businesses, as well as in our own embodied experience. And like, I've understood these ideas conceptually for a while, but I'm just like, oh, now I really understand. And so I'm experiencing feeling like I'm in the summer in my business where everything is just like bursting and colorful and bright and blooming. And it's kind of like a wild overgrown, like wildflower meadow, as opposed to a nicely manicured landscape. And I appreciate that even in that way. Celebrating, I'll just to nip it, keep it shorter. I got this lovely feedback last night from a client following our discussion about re-upping for the next month of meals. She said, "Cooking is a high art form. You have helped inspire me to do better. You are very talented and thoughtful, all good traits together." So that was a really sweet reflection to receive. And she was just so gracious about just saying, yes, we want 4 more weeks and yes, we want to pay you more, which was like a scary ask. But it was based on food cost and just tracking and saying, this is what last month looked like and this is what I propose. And she was like, no problem. And then lastly, just recognizing that it's like, I'm allowed to ask for and receive help and support, that I deserve it and I'm worthy, and that just because I'm a health and wellness coach doesn't mean that I have to have all of the answers. And So I just started working with somebody that I feel really inspired by, and that feels delicious and nourishing.
So many beautiful celebrations, inner and outer. And I love each one of them, but I'm just going to pull on one that really struck me, like this difference between the cognitive knowledge of the seasons and then the embodiment of the seasons. And I just want to honor you because that doesn't just happen. That's because you committed and focused and took it in. And as you were talking about your beautiful wild flower garden, I was noticing the purple of your shirt is the color of a wild flower. And it feels like a shift from what I've heard from you in the past, where there's it feels like now there's like excitement in the summer and not like, oh my gosh, the work of the summer. It feels like there's a curiosity and an excitement to it.
I just want to say to that, like, I just feel like I'm really dropping into this experience of like, oh yeah, like again, that what I've understood cognitively when I hear other people talk about it, I'm like, getting for myself, like, oh yeah, I get to have this experience. I get to feel, you know, empowered, yes, by asking for what I need, and also choosing what I want to show up for and how I want to show up for it. And so that's really, yeah,
yes to all of that, and the embodiment and the power of I get to have that. Beautiful. I'm going to take Anita and Wendy, and then we're going to keep on going. Anita.
Thank you. I'm celebrating a new client. I had an enrollment conversation today, and yes, I'm super excited. oh, thank you all for celebrating with me. It's so nice. yes. And I am celebrating my newfound passion for actually having an enrollment conversation and sharing with people what I do, and this desire to connect with people, to have conversations with them, to really see people and listen to them. It means so much to me because I had episodes now that was going on for a few years where I was almost afraid of people, and now I feel like, oh, people, I love people again. Let's connect with people. So yes, this is my big celebration. Thank you.
I can feel the excitement coming through the screen. It's so beautiful. And I am positive that the second celebration that you shared, the excitement about the enrollment conversations and the wanting to show up and connect with other people and share about your work on the enrollment conversations is 100% connected to the experience, yes, bringing on this new.
Yes, and I'm sure it's also connected to me going through the enrollment workshop from you, the 5-hour one.
Yeah, I'm so glad you went through it. That's a plug for everyone. You've got those 5 hours waiting.
Yes, for you. I did it in 3 days. So thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for sharing. And Wendy.
Hi. I had two quick things. One, I don't know how tied to coaching this is, but just celebrating taking care of myself. Why do I cry every time?
Because it's such a big deal. Because it's such a big deal. Yes.
I was going into today's session. I was not going to turn my camera on. I was not going to talk. That was my intention. because sometimes having my camera on is really distracting for me, because my judgment can be so big. But I turned it on anyway and thought, I'm just going to give myself permission to turn it off if that's what I feel I need. And then everybody inspired me so much with what they were saying that I wanted to share that in the past week, I was referred to as a powerhouse twice by two different people. And the fact that they both used that word, and while that is such an honor to hear, I think the part that I'm celebrating the most is that I'm really trying to receive it.
Yes. And there's a part of you that knows that it is true.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like you're saying, it's an incredible celebration that they said it. But the bigger celebration is that you're willing to hear it and receive it and take it in and find that knowing inside of you. That is huge growth. Huge growth.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful celebrations. As a total aside, but just to say, sometimes I don't like to be on camera all day long. I don't like it sometimes either. You can hide your self-view, just for anybody that doesn't know, which is like a little trick that I use.
Hi, Johanna.
Mm-hmm.
sorry to interrupt you. It will literally take about 15 seconds.
Sure, go ahead.
Because this is my most exciting thing, and I wanted to to let you know. I responded to that client and it took me about half hour to just write the email to find the words and, you know, all of that. But in a little part of it, I said this: I highly recommend that you continue with a few more sessions, helping to create long-term transformation, not just breakthroughs.
Yes.
And then I go, and then this is the part, although they do go hand in hand. And then I said, please don't feel rushed or even that you have to. This is just a suggestion, especially when the breakthroughs are so powerful. Sincerely, Gaia. I just thought that took me like about 10 minutes to write just that, but I feel so proud. So I just want to add that to my celebration. Thank you.
Yes, that is awesome. And that also, I mean, there's so much in that. It also shows that you're seeing more deeply the power of the ongoing work that you're doing and being willing to invite others into it.
Yes.
Okay. So we're gonna jump in just like another couple minutes to strategizing, but I think it would be worth a couple of minutes to ask all of you, if you noticed some of the coaching / reflecting / going deeper with celebrating skills that I was using as I was responding to each person's celebration, and who wants to pull out some things that you saw and you noticed skill-wise? Because we don't just want to ask our clients the question, what do you want to celebrate, right? We want to use our skills to help them more deeply, go more deeper into it, embody it. So Natalie's saying you noticed how I honored and acknowledged each person and reaffirmed a key thing. Good. Who else? And please come on voice to voice too. What else do you want to pull out? What's important to note, practitioner point of view? Fenchen.
I just loved how you reflected and honored the part of Wendy that knew that it was true because the way that you did it didn't dishonor the part of her that is still working towards that full embracing of it. It just was so beautiful and so simple and so loving.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're pulling on that, because that's an important piece that we can bring forward with our clients. It's like the celebrations, there's so much depth to them, oftentimes just more than, right, just like that surface thing. And Wendy already started saying it wasn't just that she said it, it was that she received it, right? Mm-hmm. And that she's willing to receive it. And if she's willing to receive it, that means that there's a part of her that is already believing that. And you want to point that out to the client. That is growth. That is forward movement. That's big and important. Good. See what's going on in the chat. Acknowledging and honoring, and also helped us to see how you recognize each person's growth. Yeah. So with a couple of people, right, I said I could see the difference over the last months or from the last time, right? So that creating those connections of how that's forward movement, and how I recognize that too, right? That can be so helpful. Kelsey's saying the reflection showed a deep understanding of the client based on ongoing relationship. Yes, as well as the ability to reflect from my own experiences. The reflections felt so embodied. And I want to underscore particularly that last part. I wasn't blowing sunshine up anyone's tush, right? I was in that energy of true and authentic celebration with that person. It was embodied. Energy follows energy, right? And our energies were connecting to each other. It's to more deeply groove the neural pathways, the energetic pathways of it. Yes, staying with the one who shared, honoring each celebration. Yes. And Jennifer saying, creating awareness around Julie experiencing a shift, right? That, again, that shift from one place to another. Good. Anything else that wants to be said on this piece?
I'd just like to add, not only did you recognize the celebration of like forward movement or progress or action, but there was also like balanced celebration and recognition for like the new awareness, the new thought leadership.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The inner and the outer and the different pieces and layers. Yeah, it's part of our job as practitioners, as we've already learned, like to create that awareness of the forward movement on the different levels. So helpful. Okay, so let's talk about strategizing. We've spoken about visioning, we've looked at visioning, and we've looked at the energetics of new things. And now strategizing is kind of like the third part of this three-part, how do we support clients to create plans, right? Well, first they need to have a vision, and then we need to understand and work through any of the blocks of starting new things. It may not happen in this order. We may strategize first, but it's kind of like a tripartite thing. And there's an old proverb, I don't know where it's from, that I want to just kind of use as a backdrop as we go into all of this. And it goes like this: a vision without a plan is just a dream. A plan without a vision is just drudgery. But a vision with a plan can change the world. I'll put that in the chat. So we want the aligned vision, and we want the aligned plan, which is really where the strategizing comes in. So what is a strategy and why is it so important in our work with clients? Let's hear some of your thoughts. What is a strategy and why is it so important in our work with clients? Who wants to share? Or do you want me to just tell you? Which I can also do. But first I want to hear.
Yes.
So go ahead. Lisa.
It's a plan, isn't it? It's a plan of how you're going to get there. Once you've got your exciting vision, it's like, how do we make it real?
Yeah. What are the steps? Like, this vision is awesome and you're kind of out into the future. And now what? Right? What do we do now? Good. Yeah. How do we make it real? I love that you said, I love that. Good. Who else? What is this strategy and why is it important in our client work? What else you got? Natalie.
It's interesting because I actually had a call. I can't even call it an enrollment call because she's a friend, but I did pitch her at the end and she's very strategic. And so we were doing this kind of dance around her telling me the lay of the land in her job and me challenging her on certain aspects. But what I think, so in terms of strategy though, I was bringing my strategy in it too. So seeing that she was strategic, one of the things I was observing as I was doing it is that I have to mirror to her and show her that I get her and I'm with her, I'm tracking with her. And I also have to show that there's more that can be done because she did have visions, but it was about, okay, so what do you do to get, as Lisa was just saying, get to that vision that you're laying out here in this conversation, and you're going to need help to do that. And that's where I put myself in there. But yeah, I think that's part of it, right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the pieces that you're speaking to, which is important to note, is that there is some consulting that can make its way into strategizing, right? Consulting is a part of coaching. It is one way of creating awareness. And I know that when I strategize with clients, you know, similar to what you're saying, Natalie, it's like I have some ideas to bring to the table from my own expertise, from my own experience, from my own wisdom that can be really helpful. But what's important is that it's always in relationship to what the client is bringing, to their inner wisdom, and playing off of that.
Yes, yes.
Good, good. Who else? What else do you want to say? What is a strategy and why is it important? What else comes to mind? Anyone else got anything?
I mean, for me, like, strategies can also be another way of like reinforcing or reflecting where you are now and where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's helps, almost like Lisa said before, like makes that a reality. Like, this is where we are. This is where we want to go. Here is that plan to get there. Good. In ball.
I'm just realizing, because I was working on a free gift and taking for granted just how we speak about like the inner, you know, there's the inner work versus the outer strategy. So the strategy doesn't necessarily just need to be outer, but it also that it's kind of like doing, for lack of a better word, like a risk assessment. It can show us like where we need to look at, where we might get tripped up. So it kind of like also expands maybe the vision, fleshes out maybe what's necessary.
Yeah, I love that. It's a beautiful insight. Because a lot can come up in the strategy and creating the strategy of like, oh, is that what I really want? Can I do, like, the vision, to have the vision is one piece, but then we're talking about this actual, like, I had a call with a client this week and she is really just done amazing in her business. And she's just finishing up a book and she's ready for her next level of marketing. And so we were strategizing and we were kind of tossing this idea of her doing ads for the first time. And it was like, that was the risk assessment, right? There's like, I need to grow my community in the way that we visioned it. You know, it's like, right. And then that's great because then we worked on that, on the inner level together. Good. Okay. Great definition. I'm going to see if there's anything else that I want to add that I have here. Coaches support clients to become the leaders of their lives, and leadership becomes easier with a plan. Coaches support clients to become the leaders of their lives, and leadership becomes easier with a plan. Strategizing not only, as so many of you said, like, helps us have this pathway, making it real, moving into the future, but a strategy is then also, I don't know, the best word I can think of for now is an agreement that our clients have with us. So then we're kind of on the same page about where they're committed to going, and we can hold that with them and we can track that with them. It is easier to track a client's progress to their goals when we have a shared strategy, when there's that kind of agreement. And of course the strategy can change as you move forward as well, based on the client's needs and where they're at. Another way to think of a strategy is an opportunity to use all of your available resources to execute a plan. Sometimes when we don't have a strategy, we're just kind of like hodgepodge, pulling on our resources to move forward, but taking the time to strategize something out gives the opportunity to actually make use of all available resources to execute the plan. And I think this is part of what Heather was saying. Strategizing is how the gap is bridged between where the client is and where they want to be. It's how that gap is bridged between where they are and where they want to be. Jennifer's asking in the chat, is anticipating obstacles part of strategizing? Absolutely. At the end of kind of like strategizing out like the known actions with a client, I will almost always say, now what can possibly get in your way of this, or what could possibly happen to take you off track? Let's just kind of name as much of that as we can right now and see what we can put into the plan to plan for it, the strategy to plan for it. Yeah, great question. Natalie's saying establishing guardrails is a technique I use here too. Yes, absolutely. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit as well. Okay, so some of the kind of questions and comments in the chat are getting us into where we're going to spend most of the rest of our time today, which is, what makes up a good strategy? What are the elements of a good strategy? So, first element of a good strategy is having a clear goal. Having a clear goal. And I want to remind you back from our visioning module that sometimes goals and visions are different. a vision might be further out. And then a goal is kind of like the next big stop on the way there. So your client may have a vision to become a yoga master. That's their ultimate vision. Part of strategizing is actually deciding on what's the first goalpost. And maybe you decide the first goalpost is mastering headstands. Because if you were just to start to strategize out becoming a yoga master, what would happen? That would be super overwhelming. You wouldn't be able to like really get clear on all of the steps. It would be a non-starter, right? So that vision, that bigger vision is great because it's like so inspiring. It's like, this is what we're going for ultimately. But then we want to have that, like that first goal and then the second goal, you know, as they get achieved. Let me pause there. Any thoughts or questions on this, having a clear goal? Or what is this sparking for you? What's an example?
I wanted to say having a clear goal. When I hear that, it feels like the person already knows exactly what they want into the future, into the vision. It's when I hear that, to me, it feels like it's I can see it over there. But a lot of times it's not like that. It's you're just right here with maybe the next few weeks. So that would be the same thing, right? Having a clear goal for the next few months or weeks.
Absolutely. And so, but that's why we want to do the visioning before the strategizing. The visioning is going to come before the strategizing. So we can, you know, it might be a month out into the future. It might be 6 months. It might be a year, whatever it is, like we looked at envisioning, but we do want the visioning to come first. And then this is part of the like bigger case that I can make for the difference between one-off sessions versus working with a client over a period of time.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Good. Lisa.
I've still got a question around visioning values and needs, which came up in my small group, but I don't want to railroad that into this bit if it's inappropriate, but I just wanted to flag a question so I had a chance to ask it at some point because it's still ruminating.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing it up. Could you ask it at the end of our call? Even if we're at time, I can hang on for a minute or two, but I'll try to save time for cues at the end. I want to answer it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on establishing a clear goal?
I have a quickie. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jana and then Julie.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when you say a clear goal, for example, I have a client who her vision is to feel come up with balanced in her health. One of her goals is to lose weight. And then, you know, where we're starting, like that first goalpost is she said, I want to eat more vegetables. And I said, well, what does that mean? You know, what does more mean? And so then we established it means she's going to eat a serving of vegetables with her lunch, right? So that was more clear because then we can go back the next time we meet and say, okay, how many times did that happen? And what were the, you know, barriers if it didn't happen?
Absolutely. And that's such a great also example for us on visioning out the goal too, right? So you asking the question of like, okay, so what does that mean? Eat more vegetables. That supports kind of like the mini visioning of the goal, which is important too. Good. Julie, and then Heather.
I was just going to say, and this is, seems pretty like simplistic and obvious, but like when we can effectively support our clients in identifying a clear goal, it's like the entry point to supporting them and really hearing what is true for them and demonstrating that we are here in this role to honor their truth and help them stay accountable to themselves and creating this container within which they are not only likely going to reach their goal, but we're, by establishing the goal, we're establishing trust that's going to support the process.
I love that. Yeah, really beautifully said.
And like you recently, I think, articulated in a post, you know, that that trust, we're reinforcing that trust in themselves as well as in us.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of that is like also being supportive of the goal, knowing you have someone on your side and on your team and holding the container with you to do this thing that's really important to you, that you've just established. This is important. I want this. Heather.
Yes. I was just wondering like how you balance the reality of a client's vision.
Yeah, it is actually by establishing the next goal. So you're getting like, this isn't this, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because sometimes when clients' vision, it is something that is really far out, right? Now, remember back to our visioning module, we always want it to be realistic, even if it's a big stretch, realistic, right? But sometimes the vision can be really far out. And that's when it becomes even more valuable to be like, okay, so we're going for that. But what's most helpful is to get clear on the next piece, right? And I, for those of you who are in curriculum lab, I also use this analogy yesterday with curriculum. It's true here too. Sometimes you can say like, that's the cross country trip, right? Like that's the, we're in New York and you're gonna eventually get to LA. But in order to get to LA, we're in New York now. We have to decide what, I don't know, I'm so bad at geography. What's like the next big city over Boston? I don't know, Cleveland, whatever it is. I never learned geography in grade school. So like we have to like, so then what is the Cleveland, right? And support the client to get excited about the, whatever the Cleveland is, the eating more vegetables, the handstand, right? And like, and vision that out. Why is that going to be amazing? And then start to establish the steps there. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Good. Natalie.
I love Heather's question because, and your response to it. And I just want to add, if this might add some color to what you shared too. Like, so I'm big on visions. I thrive in that space. And so I have clients where the vision is looks so, it's so crazy big that it almost seems completely unrealistic, but I'm all for, I see the vision. Let's not worry about getting there, but what are the pillars? I use the word pillars. What are the pillars that need to, that will build this out? So it's kind of like what you just said, Joanna, with the cities, but I call them pillars. Like, so what are the pillars that will make this thing come to be? And so we start focusing on the pillars. And for each pillar, we get a whole lot of context around what that means, what it looks like. And then literally just happened with a client and me in a few sessions ago, then the vision starts to look more attainable and realistic.
Yes. I love that. And I love that language of the pillars too. Thank you for adding that. Okay, so we want a clear goal. Now, the next piece I'm going to say might be a little controversial. I'm going to toss it and you can decide. And I think it's an element of a good strategy for most people in most moments, but every now and again, maybe not, it can create maybe a little bit of stress. So always coach your what based on your who, but almost always having a due date for the goal by when is this, is the headstand going to be mastered? By when are you going to have, you know, be eating vegetables regularly every day with lunch? Every now and again, a client is not in an aligned place for that because it's just too activating for the nervous system. It creates too much pressure, and they'll be better off kind of like being a little looser with the due date. But by and large, that helps round out the goal to have a date. It helps kind of create more of a container around the goal. We know that there's kind of like a start date and a end date that we're going for. And it can also help inform the strategy in terms of like, when are the smaller steps of the strategy going to take place? So I usually like to have some kind of due date or target month, you know, if it's a little farther out into the future. Next element of a good strategy, a really good strategy has a guiding feeling or a guiding belief to it. So, in other words, I like to ask the client, how do you want to feel as you work towards this goal? Or what do you want to believe as you work towards this goal? Or you can also ask both. So either how do you want to feel, or what do you want to believe? Why am I putting this in here as an element of a good strategy? Why is a guiding feeling or a guiding belief really useful? Who wants to share? What do you think? Heather.
I think they're good to have when those obstacles or the resistance comes up.
Correct. Yeah, that is one really important reason. It's like when the obstacles or the resistance comes up, you can come back to the guiding feeling and course correct, or you can come back to the guiding belief and course correct. Good. Jana.
Yeah, basically almost the same thing. So I was going to lower my hand, but I do an exercise usually at the beginning of a container with somebody of like tapping into how you want to feel. And then that's kind of their. And we try to come up with a couple words, and then that's like their word, you know, that they can go back to when they're feeling like they want to give up, or, you know, it's like, okay, how do you want to feel at the end of this?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Angie.
I think I'm somebody who's a big proponent of kind of the principles in some circumstances of manifestation. And it's like, if you know how something needs to feel in order to get there and you can tap into that feeling or that belief, now it's almost as though you're living the reality of it already having happened, which then can propel it into more of a manifest place in your life.
Absolutely. It's kind of like a practical application of energy follows energy, right? Feel you're feeling the way that you want to feel, and it motivates actions. Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, doubles down on the feeling, which creates more actions. And then you end up creating the thing more easily. Good. Good. And let's see in the chat. Bryn is saying it builds a connection between the client and their goal. I love that. It's like, I feel that energetically, like the feeling that creates that connection with the goal. Julie's saying, I feel like having a guiding feeling or belief serves as a touchstone or a frame or reference to help our clients determine if they're staying on track. Nice. Yeah, it can be like a good marker or frame of reference for that. Yes. makes me think of Danielle Laporte's prompt, what will you do to feel the way you want to feel? Yeah, beautiful. And so that dovetails in just to the other piece that I wanted to mention about this, which is that, and this is a like foundational piece in Sacred Depths coaching, which is not inherent in a lot of other coaching out there. And so I just want to like toss this for you to consider if it is a feels true for you. I really feel like when I'm coaching a client, my job isn't only to help them reach their goals. Yes, that is absolutely part of my job, to help support them reach their goals. But to me, the another piece of my job is to support the client to reach the goals in ways that are right for them, in ways that are aligned for them, that the time between where they are now and reaching the goal is so important for learning, for practicing being who you want to be and feeling how you want to feel, right? It's not just the destination, it's the journey, right? And so knowing how we want to feel or how we want to believe as we execute improves the quality of our lives through the execution. We don't want to be just get it done coaches that our clients just like torture themselves, don't have fun, aren't fully present, aren't like whatever it is for them, right? The quality of the time and the energy that they spend as they execute is actually just as important as the goal itself, if not more. Okay. Another element that I like to throw in sometimes when I'm strategizing with a client is to bring in, I mean, asking how do they want to feel can bring in that spirit level of learning and processing. But sometimes I'll ask a separate question. What does your inner wisdom want you to know about this plan? Or what does spirit want you to know about this plan? Or whatever language works for that client, so that we're not only strategizing from our cognitive and mental levels, which of course is important, but we're also strategizing from a higher wisdom, from a place of bigger trust, because sometimes more inspired strategic ideas are going to come through that way. Does that make sense? Okay. So I like to, you know, somehow get that, some question like that. Or what does your heart want you to know about this plan can be another way. Another element. Well, actually, let me pause there because I said a lot in terms of the how we execute and the quality of that time. And then also this spirit level, anything additional that wants to be spoken or shared about those pieces or what's kind of coming together for you around all of this, what's feeling important? Anyone want to add anything to that? Nope. Okay. I apologize. Oh, in ball.
Just even I was like going on my notes and saw the word due date, and it's like it's strategizing feels like it's like a form of container.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it just came to me, but it's like, you know, taking something that's out here and, you know, making it, you know, like more accessible, but it's like, it's more, the next thing is like, you know, is more held, it's more defined, it's more clear. And so it's not just kind of, you know, out there, and it, yeah, I keep thinking just that it's like accessible and less overwhelming, and you feel like more held with the strategy.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, I never thought of it this way before, but as you were talking, Inbal, this is what came to me. So I'll offer it to all of you to see if this lands for you. The vision is the flow and the strategy is the structure. And you need both. Good. Thanks for that. Natalie.
Joan, I'm curious. So could the strategy be, I'm just thinking of my conversation today again, and I don't know, I went this place where I said, let's just play here, because she was getting caught up in the logic part of it. Like, you know, well, logic says I need to be doing this, this, this. And then I was like, she's in her brain. How can I get her out of her brain as we are strategizing? And then I said, well, let's not even be attached to this. Let's just have fun. And she literally had a hard time having the fun, but it was like to get her to that other space, like tying back to your point too about the spirit or whatever. Like, it's like we can strategize from our cognitive level all day and get to certain logical decisions. But I knew that there was something more, but I didn't know what it was. But to tap into that more for her, it's like I had to get her in a more playful place so that she could tap into that higher wisdom. Is that, am I making sense?
Absolutely, 100%. So yeah, again, you know, sometimes first we want to work on the, like bringing the client into the energy, and then from there, accessing the wisdom or getting the cognitive pieces with that energy in place. And I think this really relates to what Lisa is asking in the chat. Lisa's saying, would you ever even just say, ask your heart where the joy, fun, pleasure, right? So in other words, once we ask a client, you know, how do you want to feel? What's the energy you want to move through to reach your goal? Then whatever that is, let's say they want to have fun. We can say, okay, so ask your heart or ask your inner wisdom or even ask your inner fun one what they want you to know about the pieces of this strategy, or what would be a fun way to get there. Can ask that question as well. Or, and this I think speaks even to more what you're saying you did in the session, like, okay, let's have fun for a moment. Like, let's just, for a moment, let's just like put the strategy aside and let's get you into this place.
Like, I think it's the what you say all the time, coach the what based on the who. So here she was bringing in her whole full logic self, and it was like, yeah, but that's not all there is, right? So yeah.
And that's, so again, that's the other part of asking the what energy or what belief do you want to guide you here. Good. Okay, another element that I have really found is very helpful for creating an effective strategy is having baby steps. So to use Jana's example, if the client says, okay, I want to eat more vegetables, that's their first goalpost. And that means that they want to eat more vegetables at lunch. I might break that down even further a little bit. So I might say, for example, okay, so, you know, when do you want to start this? That's a little bit some of the due date, right? Maybe they want to start in 2 days. And then I might say, okay, so what needs to be in place for you to be able to eat more vegetables on Wednesday? And the client might say, well, I think I have to go to the supermarket and buy more vegetables. Okay, that's a baby step. We want to put that down, right? And then you might ask again, and the client might say like, oh, but you know what? If the vegetables are in the refrigerator and they're not washed and they're not cut, and I'm like, my lunches are so quick and chaotic, there's no way that I'm going to actually add the vegetables in with lunch. So then we have a baby step number two, pre-wash and pre-cut the vegetable, right? Little micro things that are going to support the client to achieve their goal, especially if it's something new that might feel big for them. Sometimes, many times I'll work with a client and we'll strategize a goal of creating a video for social media where they share something that's really true to their heart, right? That sounds easy enough. Like, we could just leave it at that. Okay, so this week you're gonna create a video, but what I find is breaking it down into baby steps is even more supportive. Okay, so then what are all of the steps that are needed in order to post this video that you're going to make, right? Like, this finished product. And so I'll ask the client first, and then I'll add some of my consulting as well, what I know, right? So we might decide, okay, get clear on what the topic is. Create an outline of what you want to share in the video. And maybe there's two drafts of that outline. So let's have that as two separate baby steps, draft one of the outline and draft two. Maybe that particular client isn't so great with tech, and so they need to do a little research beforehand, not like the day of the video, of how, like, how the camera is going to work and lighting. They need to test out the lighting and whatever it is, right? So on and on and on. So we want to break it down into baby steps. And what I like to kind of look at are baby steps that are 30 to 60 minutes long, particularly if it's very new for the client or there's fear, right? Like, just what are the, because the less overwhelming, the more we can do this in like easy chunks, then the more likely, less likely the confused one is going to show up as a resistance archetype, right? Like, we're just like, it'll be easier to move through and get it done. And also, like, tick off, yay, I did that thing, right? We know this from celebrations. We go from strength to strength. So to be able to be like, woohoo, I did the first draft of the outline. I am in motion now, right? Creates more inspiration to then get to baby step number two. For those of you that have been to our monthly Q&A calls with me, you know we spend the first half hour of every blueprint, every Q&A call every month blueprinting, where it's essentially this process of what are the goals, what are the baby steps to this goal, and then the next step, some of you are already putting it in the chat, is okay, now let's look at your calendar for each baby step. What is the date that you would have time and that you would like to do this thing, so that we can see if the strategy actually fits in to the ultimate due date, or if we need to lengthen or shorten or whatever it is. This level of detail, again, for most people is supportive. For some people is too much. So you always want to know the person in front of you. You want to listen for cues if they're getting overwhelmed. Maybe they just need to set the due date of the first baby step, right? And get that done and celebrate that, and then connect back with you and set the date for the next one, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes, and this might be, this is what I understood Natalie meant by guardrails earlier, but if it's a misunderstanding, I'm sorry, Natalie, and you can share later what you did mean. Sometimes what I also like to do is ask a client, are there any daily or weekly habits that you know you want to put in place in order to set up the best environment for you to be able to execute this strategy? So for example, back to Jana, like, there might be the first baby step of going shopping, but then maybe from there, the client decides Sunday is my shopping day every day. And I know I'm buying at least 4 different kinds of vegetables, my shopping day every week. And I know I'm buying, right? That's like an ongoing habit. Or maybe another ongoing habit is cutting the vegetables every morning, or maybe another ongoing habit is, you know, meditating in the morning, right? But what is the best environment set up that's going to help with this? Okay, good. We are on the same page, Natalie. And then another marker is have celebrations built in. Celebrate the progress. Don't wait until the final goal is achieved to honor, acknowledge, and celebrate along the way. Jennifer.
Hi. Could you speak to, you know, I do shadow work and healing and things like that. So having those goalposts, or, you know, it's not like, hey, I want you healed by August 3rd. Like, how are you? So maybe speak a little bit to that, because, you know, healing's not linear and things pop up. And so I guess maybe it would be really recognizing triggers and limiting beliefs and self-sabotage and things like that. So if you could speak to that a little bit, it would be helpful for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're working with a client on shadow, you know, when you're doing shadow work, a lot of the main, tell me if you agree with this, this is my experience. A lot of the main strategy points actually happen in session, and then in between session, it's like integration and follow up of it, right? Because like the shadow work is so big, and they're not going to like go off and do a piece, you know, a new piece on their own for the first time. So that's the first thing I just want to acknowledge, is with that, a lot of the kind of strategy, right? But that being said, exactly what you said, like it can sometimes be really helpful for a client to lay out, you know, first we're going to get really clear and understand and unpack what are these triggers. Then we're going to look at like how you've held shame about these parts of yourself. And then, right. So that's one way that you can strategize with shadow work, but I'm going to toss a couple other things out that might be helpful for you. What is the shadow work in service of? What is the ultimate goal that the shadow work is in service of? Is it so that they can be visible in their business? Is it so that they can have a marriage, you know, whatever their vision of their amazing marriage is going to be, et cetera? And then it's like the inner shadow work is actually one element then of the strategy, because there's outer work that they're going to have to do with each of the openings from the sessions, right? Like, make an online dating profile, blah, 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 right? And then I would use those outer action strategy pieces as fodder and activation of like which shadows to look at when.
Okay, that makes so much sense. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good, great question. Okay. With the time that we have left, there's another really important piece that I want us to take a look at when it comes to strategizing. And that is, we always want to co-create a strategy with our client that honors their natural rhythm. We always want to create a strategy that honors their natural rhythm. So here's what I mean by this. In our patriarchal capitalist society, there is only one rhythm that is honored, glorified, and acceptable. And that is the sprint. That is the I have school, it's going to happen tomorrow, and I'm going to do the action, I'm going to do the next action, I'm going to do the next action, I'm going to do the next action, and then it's going to be done. And that is how it is done, right? I'm like making a joke, but it's also, it's like, it's kind of true, right? But in Sacred Depths coaching, we coach the what based on the who, and we honor each who, and we leverage the gifts of each who. And there are some people that are sprinters, but most people aren't, right? If we create a strategy that is not in tune with our client's natural rhythm or whatever natural rhythm is aligned for them at that season in their life, it is a recipe for shame or overwork and getting drained and exhausted or self-criticism and on and on and on and on, right? So we want to understand what is this client's natural rhythm and then set the strategy according to that and celebrate it, whatever it is. Whatever it is, celebrate it. That is the exact right pace and rhythm for that client to be able to achieve what they want to achieve. So there's lots of different natural rhythms that we can identify, but I want to name some of the most common that I've seen. So we've got what I call the marathoners, or the consistent doers. I am mostly a marathoner. So marathoners, they like to work slow and steady. Like I wanna do a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow and a little bit the next day. And I'm not gonna like overdo it, right? Just like someone running a marathon, they're gonna keep the same pace most of the time. They're not into like overdoing it, and they can sustain, right? That kind of, it's a little bit of a slower pace and it's that consistent doing. That's one kind of natural rhythm. Another kind of natural rhythm is the sprinter that I spoke about. Sprinters are doers. They've got like a lot of energy that they can like use and burn. And so you might front load more action steps, baby action steps for that person because they can do it. But here's the thing to know about sprinters. They need breaks, and they actually usually need longer breaks than marathoners. So marathoners are like, I'm gonna work consistently, and I'm like taking my break every day and my break on the weekend, you know, whereas a sprinter is like, I'm gonna work and I'm gonna work and I'm gonna work and work and not really take too many breaks. And then I need like 5 days to do nothing, right? And I'm gonna work and work, work. Again, one is not better than the other. It's just about working with the client to see what is best for them. Here's another kind of natural rhythm that I often see. I call these guys the tipping pointers. These are people that like, they're not going to take outer action for the first couple days, at least, if not for the first week or two. The tipping pointers need to marinate on things first. And this isn't like resistance or being stuck. It's like they know what the steps are and they have to get used to the idea that they're going to be taking the steps, to wrap their minds around it. And they have to prepare for it. And they have to like embody that they're getting ready to take these new actions. And then there's a tipping point. And then they either become a sprinter or a marathoner, right? So we want to make sure that they don't go into like resist. It crosses the line from the marinating into the resistance. But for my tipping pointer clients, the first action step is never going to start the next day or even 2 days later or even 3 days later. I'm going to give them like time for it to sink in first. And there's probably going to be space in between each new action step as well. last one I'll say for now, I call the deep thinkers and the processors. They're like marathoners, except much slower. So they are like persistent and consistent, but they really like, they need to really think through the thing, you know? So they're doing it persistently and consistently from the beginning, but they're just like, and we want to honor that and leverage that, right? Normalize that for them. Okay, this is so, I feel very passionate about this just because of all of the shame I see that's created out there, or the exhaust or the overworking that's created out like in the industry when natural rhythms aren't honored. So first, some of you are probably already identifying yourselves, and maybe there's another natural rhythm that you want to name that I didn't name, but want to ask you, which one are you? Which one are you? Doris is a marathoner. Sarah is a tipping pointer. She has a name for it now. Lauren is a deep thinker and processor. It's a beautiful one to be. There's so much richness in it. Same with Lori. Heather's a sprinter. Jennifer's a sprinter, but slowing down to a marathoner. Yeah, we can change too. Like I used to be a sprinter, which was really good for a period of time. And then I got burnt out like that. It wasn't right for me forever to be that. Anita feels like you're a mix. Yeah. And it depends. And you can create a name for that mix or just know when you're with each one. Angie's a tipping pointer, but the fire under your butt. Yep. Makes you move. Lisa's a marathoner. Good. How have you maybe gotten into trouble or had trouble in the past by not knowing or not honoring your natural rhythm, your natural execution rhythm? Overlooking, overbooking, and overlooking. Lisa's saying overbooking. Jennifer's saying I'd be hard on myself for taking longer breaks. Yep. Angie still doesn't honor it and it leads to shame. Angie, I want to invite you now that we're having this conversation to really honor this part of you. This is who you are, and to know that it's a gift and it can be leveraged. Heather's saying burnout when I don't take the break, burnout and shame spiraling. Kelsey's saying comparison. Yep. Natalie's saying my brain is a sprinter, but my body needs to marathon. It's such a great awareness. Yes. Good. Anybody I'd love to hear a voice or two on this. What's feeling important about these natural rhythms to you? What are you seeing that's important here? Who wants to share? Lisa.
I'm wondering, so this is a bit of a question to myself, whether a tipping pointer is like, I take that time to get my head into the new beliefs and the new sort of feeling and to see if I'm even inspired by it. So I don't know if that's quite right, but that's what it feels like sometimes. And then it's like, this is probably cheating, but then it can almost happen by itself if I get in the right frame of mind. It's not so much effort. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of like that tipping point. Yeah. Mm. Good. That's just good information to know about yourself, right? So that you can set yourself up to be most successful in your strategies. Anita.
When you started talking about these natural rhythms, I almost had tears in my eyes. And it's because of my own experience and because of experiences that I see in my clients and other people. And I see there's such a potential for so much love and acceptance when we share this information with clients. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And thank you for sharing that. I agree. 100%. I've seen that happen. for people as we've looked at this? Gaia.
I'm quite loving this because for such a long time, strategy is something that I'm very resistant to. It's my idea I have about strategy and how it's very, you know, patriarchal and masculine and, you know, and not so connected with feelings and this and that. And, you know, it's by the book and, you know, like this. But you, these elements have brought it to where it's quite manageable. In fact, it feels like these elements are connecting with your humanity, it feels like to me. You know, I mean, it's amazing because some of these elements I'm already using, but never thought as a way, for example, you know, a guiding feeling or belief, you know, which is a way to connect between between themselves and their goals, for example, as opposed to just get this done. But what do you feel, you know? And I just love it. What does your inner wisdom, your heart want to know? It's right up my alley. It's like you've put strategy into the, you know, it's just, you know, strategy, this is amazing for me. It's like I've resisted it my whole life. It's like, I want to do it this way. I'm this, you know, I'm not going to walk like that. But what if I could walk like that? But inside I'm like, I want to get there like this, you know what I mean? Or but my heart really, I'm already doing it. I just haven't been able to put it in. You've just brought this down into, to me, this is the true human condition, you know? This is what we do with children. They're already strategizing because they're connected, you know? So this is fantastic for me. You've really and truly, you've opened up strategy into a whole new realm. And I can relate this, yeah.
I'm so glad, and I can feel that energetically as you're sharing. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for articulating that for us. Good. Okay. A couple of last little tips for when you're strategizing. Don't get too attached to a specific strategy. Understand that sometimes strategies need to change, right? We can only plan beforehand as well as we can plan beforehand, and then we execute. And usually there are things to change in the plan. Simpler strategies are always the better strategies. So one of the questions that I just keep top of mind when I strategize for myself and when I'm strategizing with a client is, what's the simplest way? What's the simplest way? What's the simplest way? Always keep the client's vision in mind. That should be one of the guiding lights of the strategies. And last piece is, for me, I mean, sometimes I'll strategize upfront at the beginning of a session with a client, but most of the time, the way I'll work a session is a client will talk about, you know, what they want to receive by the end. And we might start to, you know, we'll either just start to strategize a little bit and then all the inner pieces will come up and we'll like work with the inner pieces. And then I make sure I have time at the end for strategizing. Or we might, they'll already know there's inner pieces in their way and we'll do that. But I always like to end with some strategy. I shouldn't say always, but much of the time, after going through kind of inner pieces and a deeper look, I like to end with some strategy each session. What are your next? I mean, and that's simply like, what are you going to do between now and next time to get to the next place on the journey, right? So your homework for the next week, if you're working with a partner, is to start to bring more of these elements in, either for a bigger strategy or even just that kind of little strategizing session by session. I love the way Inbal described it as creating a container, right? So support your coaching partner to create a container for their action steps for moving forward. All right. Before I let you go, take a moment and write down what What are you really taking from our time together today? What's your takeaway from our time together today? And I'd love to hear last thoughts, takeaways, and any questions that you have. And we're at 4:30. So of course, if you have to go, we are officially done, but I'm happy to hang on for any cues and last thoughts. Angie.
I think I'm realizing how much I need to go through this practice for myself. And I think I might need a coach. I usually have a coach, but I don't have one right now. And I'm feeling like today was really revealing to me.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you're seeing that. And I would say, like, next step, even before a coach, apply some of what we're looking at to your vision and see where you can go with it. Good. Who else? Takeaways, last thoughts, or questions? Anyone else want to share? Nicole is saying it's bringing up so much. Yes. Lisa saying the strategy with natural rhythm, love, safety, and trust. Yes. Yes. Sarah's feeling more integrated. Good. Julie.
Oh, I was just going to say, basically reiterating what I said before, that strategy is an important part of creating a safe container and building trust with our clients, between our clients and ourselves, like I said before, by supporting them in really seeing the clear path and feeling hopeful.
Yes, I love that. And the feeling hopeful part for sure. Yes, thank you. Lisa, you want to ask your question on values?
Yeah, is that all right to do that?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so we were in the small group and we were discussing visioning and values and needs and kind of the interrelationship. And I'm really curious, because I feel quite experienced in doing visioning with clients, and then I'll ask them why is it important and all of that. So it feels like I get partway to the values. But I was like, we were curious, how explicit do you need to be? And do people know their values? And do they know their needs? Because in my experience also, it's like, when the resistance kicks in, it's usually based on a need that, and I'll speak for myself, that I didn't realize was there sort of underlying it all. So I'm really interested in how this whole dynamic works. It feels like a, yeah, fascinating exploration.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of ways to approach this or think about it. The first is through your listening skills, right? So whenever I'm listening to a client, even from before they become a client, like from the moment of when we're having an enrollment conversation, one of the many things, we looked at this in our listening module, you know, one of the many things I'm listening for is, what is this person's values? You know, what do they value? What is important to them? And when I think I hear a value, I'll reflect it back and ask if I'm getting that right, if that is something that is important or a need as well. And then how that plugs into the visioning is that when we're visioning something, I'll bring it up, right? And I'll say, I know that freedom, you know, as an example, I know that freedom is one of your top values. How is freedom showing up in this vision, or how would you like for freedom to show up in this vision? Or what would this vision look like if we were to infuse it with even more freedom, right? So that's one way, is we're like, all from day one, we're listening and tracking, and we know, you know. And if we don't know, we can like say to a client, you know, this vision sounds great, and I'm wondering what value would you like to infuse this vision with? Right. So that's another way we can do it, is like, we may not be sure. And so we can ask.
Mm-hmm.
A third way, I think, include this in the member center. I'll take a look. If not, I'll include it in there. I have, it's old, so it's not updated. So I'll like do with it what you will. I have a values and needs assessment.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That you could also share in your welcome questionnaire with a client. That's just really revealing for them and it helps you understand more about the client. Let me make a note on that. Mm. We put it in the member center, but maybe it didn't make its way there. And I got that. That's not fully mine originally. Like I've changed it enough that I feel comfortable sharing it, but it's just important to honor. I don't remember where I got it from originally, but I think it says it on the thing. So I'll make sure that that's shared in the member center too. I used to use it all the time up front with clients and I don't anymore just because it's like another thing. I don't know, for my people, it's like another thing to do. And I'm just like listening for the values and needs, but it is a really beautiful and can be a very powerful tool.
Mm, I can imagine that could get very complex as well if people are looking, if you're looking, it's like a big, quite a big piece of work, isn't it? If you want to do that.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to look at. Involves saying it's in there. So okay. Awesome. Yeah. So awesome. You can look in the member center. It'll be in the visioning module under the resource sheets.
That's great, because that would also give me a way of doing it with a group as well, for the whole group to look at their values and their needs. And then it's yeah, nice. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question that's about 2 weeks old now. So.
Okay. Now I'm glad you're asking. Oh, Inval's saying the original source is in the worksheet, but you're not sure if the... Okay, so let me put that back on my list. Let me make sure that it's in there. Okay. All right. Anyone else need anything for today? No? All right. Sending you all lots of love. Have a wonderful rest of your day.